Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening. Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Miracle Within You. Today, we are talking with Dr. David Lemon, a naturopath who works with helping people with cancer either prolong their life or, even better still, overcome the problem. David is from Alabama, and I'm really looking forward to the conversation we are about to have. David is also a course creator. We'll get more into where you can find him later in the program. But right now, David, welcome. And tell us a little bit about your trajectory and how you got to be where you are today.
Yeah, Howard, great to be here. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm like kind of had a long twisting roundabout journey. I was in a totally different field in my 20s and 30s. I was originally an art major, so I studied illustration in college and my undergrad work. And when I was a kid, I wanted to be a Disney animator and that kind of thing, and make cartoons for a living. But that evolved over time. So in my early 20s, kind of a seed was planted to work in the healthcare field. I did some translating work for some doctors on the border of Mexico when I was living in South Texas, and the Shriners Hospital brought some kids over from Mexico. They were doing some orthotics and prosthetics for these little children that were missing feet or missing an arm or something like that. And it was just a really life-changing experience to see these interactions between the doctors and these children. So that just kind of planted a seed in my heart to go into that healthcare field someday. And then when I looked into it, when my college guidance counselors and everything, and I looked into conventional medicine and chiropractor and physical therapy and all these different fields, and nothing really clicked and nothing really felt right. And so after I graduated from my college courses and was kind of in the course of making a living in the visual arts field, I discovered naturopathic medicine, and just by chance, and realized that was all the courses that I excelled in college and my electives and required courses of psychology and health and wellness and anatomy and physiology and all those anything that was geared toward kind of mind-body medicine, health, holistic medicine, that kind of thing, were the courses that I got straight A's in naturally without having to work very hard. But the subjective nature of the art courses made it harder, and I was getting some B's and C's in some of those art classes, but I always got straight A's in all the health and wellness classes. So I just kind of put two and two together and said, that's what I want to do when I grow up. So I went back to school in my late 30s and had four children when we started medical school, and then had our fifth in the middle of medical school and sixth after graduation. So,
wow.
So proud father of six amazing children. Wow. From age 7 to 22 right now. And so it was quite a punishing thing to go back to pre-med for 3 years and then medical school for 5 years and
yeah,
and everything.
Wow.
But
good for you.
That was 10 years ago now. And so I have a lot of amazing experience getting to serve people and support their health. And so it's just been a joyful journey. But the one of the main, I guess, inciting incidents, I kind of went into naturopathic medical school with an interest and a passion for helping people with cancer, because I knew the system was broken and chemotherapy can contribute and cause cancer, where they're you have to handle it with rubber gloves because it's toxic and can cause cancer and can contribute to a recurrence and that kind of thing. And obviously, radiation is one of the causes of cancer, but they use it to treat cancer. So there's this kind of backwards thinking as far as the treatment can be as bad as the disease sometimes. So when I was in the middle of my naturopathic medical program in Oregon, my younger sister, just 3 years younger than me, was diagnosed with a rare form of bile duct cancer. And I was only able to talk on the phone maybe once or twice. I never got to go out to visit, never got to say goodbye. And she was given 0% chance of survival by her doctors. And she passed away within 6 weeks of her diagnosis. And I didn't get to say goodbye. And she left behind two young kids. And it was just a really life-changing, heartbreaking experience that I had to go through, where I was learning all these things that could have helped, but I wasn't legally allowed in my schooling training yet to really recommend anything. And there just wasn't time, where I was in the middle of my program and she was several states away. And so it was just a really painful experience, where that kind of lit the fire under me to focus on that holistic cancer piece of basically putting together all the research that's been done on all the mind-body treatments, the molecules, essential oils, herbs, diet, spiritual practices, just everything that that an oncologist wouldn't talk about in their office, basically, to add that layer of support. If people are working with an oncologist, they can add in these layers of support to create a well-rounded holistic treatment plan.
Yes, yeah,
And
absolutely.
then if like in my sister's case, where they say you have 0% chance of living, or there's nothing more we can do for you, or treatment stopped working, or whatever, then there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things in the course that I've put together that I'll have science behind them. Science has different levels, and everything's not perfectly placebo-controlled trials. There's no money in studying these natural treatments, but there's a lot of animal studies, preliminary studies, some human studies, things like that. So there's all science around it, and usually hundreds or thousands of years of human tradition of working with these practices or substances that help increase the level of health and have basically zero harm or very few side effects, if any. So it's been an amazing journey, and just a great passion to be able to put that together, to help people to have those resources, to, if anyone is ever in that situation that my sister was in, to actually have a condensed, basically taking all of my medical school plus 15 years of research, to pack that in, to condense it, to have that available for people who need it.
That's a very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. I mean, with us, I'm sure having your sister in that situation and sort of almost being able to help her, but really not being able to, was frustrating and a big sort of emotional impetus for you to help all sorts of people who had sisters or had brothers who couldn't help them. I have one question though. Just going back to your original roots, did your art or has your art an interest in art actually, did it have any influence? Did it help in your studies of naturopathic medicine or the application at all?
That's a really good question. Not super directly, but I think there's a lot of overlap as far as creativity, out of the box thinking. Naturopathic holistic medicine is very much more open. Conventional medicine is kind of closed down. It's like has to be drugs or surgery, nothing else. And then that artistic thinking of creativity, you're kind of trained more expansively of brainstorm a thousand different things and try anything, try everything, whatever works, that kind of philosophy. And so that naturopathic medicine is more of that foundation of the eclectic of pull from whatever discipline works, magnetism, light, energy, air,
Yes,
water,
absolutely.
hydrotherapy, you know, herbs, all those amazing things from all around the world, from all cultures, from all times throughout history. There's been things that are effective. There's been things that work, and prayer hasn't been studied amazingly on a scientific level, and it probably shouldn't be because it's prayer, and you don't want to pollute it with corrupt science.
Yeah, no,
but it works.
But I'm sure your creativity represented in your art and what I call quantum thinking is the ability to see things from many different points of view rather than just one. And I think that's part of the value of naturopathic thinking. It doesn't have the rigor, a lot of the bureaucracy, the history, you know, in that sense behind it that closes it off. And it allows you much greater opportunity to think expansively about, hey, could this work? How could this, you know, rather than, oh, these are the only things that work, blah, blah, blah. And so I do think that is in any endeavor. I think that is so important. Otherwise, you're just caught in the bureaucratic trap of this is what you have to do, and that's the end of it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I could see why you would be in naturopathic medicine rather than in more conventional medicine. And naturopathic medicine has been around a long time and offers a lot of alternatives, right?
Yeah, as an organized profession, maybe just 100 years, but as far as a philosophy, obviously thousands of years.
Yeah, yes, and some amazing, amazing things. And so you got into this career of really trying to use these approaches and be creative with them in helping people who had cancer diagnoses. I'm guessing that a lot of these people had tried conventional medicine and it wasn't working, or they didn't like it, or something. Is that fair? Or has naturopathic medicine evolved so much that people go there first, as it were?
It definitely depends on where you are. There's pockets in Oregon, Washington, Arizona, things like that, where it's very much mainstream, and cancer or insurance pays for the treatment, is recognized as primary care doctors, that kind of thing. So there are certain pockets where, especially where the naturopathic medical schools are, where there's a lot of graduates that end up practicing and staying there. So Seattle, Portland, and the Phoenix area are the three that I'm most familiar with. Obviously, lots of little pockets in Arizona, and Bridgeport, Connecticut has another school. So it kind of depends on where you are, the level of licensure, things like that, whether someone would know enough about naturopathic medicine to say, hey, I want to choose you first instead of working with a conventional doctor, or whether it's I'm having these side effects from conventional medicine and I want to work with you to manage those side effects. And so just philosophically, a lot of people are just going to be going that conventional route first, and you know, 95% of people are probably just going to see their oncologist and follow what their oncologist says. But more and more people are starting to realize that there are things that at the very least can help mitigate those side effects of the hair loss and the nausea and vomiting and fatigue and pain that come along with the cancer treatments. But there's also things within naturopathic medicine that have been shown and proven to actually sensitize cancer cells to the chemotherapy. So if they're doing conventional treatments, you can open up the cancer cells to make them more vulnerable and hungry for the chemo, so that it goes to the cancer cells and not to the healthy cells. And that really helps to decrease the side effects, because it's only directed towards the cancer, and it's avoiding the healthy cells a lot more than usual anyway.
Right. Yeah, very fundamental point there, really, is we know enough to be able to make sure that happens. And it's not you know, you're not getting an overimmune response that's killing healthy cells and is going where it needs to go. Fascinating stuff. I'm talking here with Dr. David Lemon. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back to hear more about how he helps people with cancer. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. I'm here talking with naturopath David Lemon, who works with cancer patients to alleviate some of the side effects of conventional treatment, or indeed offer other mind-body approaches to the management of cancer. I am sure you have seen some pretty amazing examples of recovery in your practice. Do any particular ones kind of come to mind as examples of the power of this approach?
Yeah, I know there's one guy that comes to mind that was he was this really successful businessman, and he was just working, just his business exploded, and he was working on kind of too many hours for too many years and burning the candle at both ends. And then just diagnosed with one cancer, and then a few months later, another cancer, and then a few months later, another. And so it was just, he was kind of this triple case, and just through those mind-body approaches of focusing on the will to live, focusing on purpose, on goals, on never giving up, never listening. If a doctor says you have a good chance you're going to live, you want to listen to that. But if a doctor says you're going to die in a year, you have to learn to block that out and filter out those kind of, I don't know what to call it, voodoo curses or false prognoses, I guess.
Potentially,
a lot of people are told over and over, you'll never walk again. You'll be you'll be dead in 2 years, that kind of thing. But people constantly beat the odds. People constantly overcome those situations. So it's it's not over until you stop breathing, basically. So there's always hope, and you can always find new things to try, new combinations of things. So it's an endless process of improvement and learning and kind of reiterative, just experimentation and pressing forward until you find that right combination of things that works.
And this gentleman who had developed multiple cancers because of a very stressful lifestyle, you were able to help him. How did you help him?
Yeah, just the hypnosis and mind-body relaxation techniques and visualization. I use a lot of visualization inspired by the healer, a book called You the Healer by Jose Silva. It's kind of the inspired, I don't know if you're familiar with the Silva mind control.
Yes.
With that, relaxation and visualization of the perfectly healthy organ systems that you're focusing on. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we help people craft a holistic treatment plan that includes the diet and nutrition and supplements and the mind-body practices, the spiritual practices, and the physical things like hydrotherapy and alternating hot and cold showers to get the circulation pumping in and out and all those things. So it's always that whole body, comprehensive, holistic treatment plan. But some people have kind of bigger holes that they have to fill in on those aspects of the treatment plan.
Yeah. But, you know, clearly you believe, as I do, that mindset is absolutely essential. You've got to have a hopeful, positive mindset, I think. Otherwise, if somebody tells you you're going to die in a year, that's probably what's going to happen, right?
Exactly.
So that is, you know, that to me is absolutely critical, that people are given hope, belief, give them things to do, because first of all, they're going to comply much more with the things they need to do to get better, right? And secondly, I do think I'd be interested in your views on this, but secondly, I do think that positive energy, as it were, that goes through the system, goes through the cellular system in itself, is therapeutic. You know, I you know, can't tell you how it works, but it seems to me that that is very valuable. I wonder what your views on that.
Yeah, Dr. Andrew Weil talks about the placebo effect and how the conventional medicine in their studies try to rule out the placebo effect. And it's like, oh, this is a bad thing that's messing up our science and messing up our studies. And we have to rule out the placebo effect to see what's really working. But Dr. Andrew Weil, that was kind of an early inspiration for me in my early 20s that I watched and read a lot of his books. He talks about we need to rule in the placebo response because that's pure human healing. That's the core of faith and belief in medicine. And then that, and then your body actually responding by creating. It's not just woo-woo mind over matter, but it's mind creating matter. Your mind creates these anti-cancer molecules that in your immune system, interleukin and these cytokine responses and all kinds of other biological responses and neurotransmitters and everything else that enhance the immune system, optimize the immune system, can target natural killer cells from the immune system to attack a tumor through those visualizations. They talk about when you visualize the cancer like a video game and the visualize your NK cells like a little Pac-Man eating it up. And if you keep visualizing that over and over, that's what starts to happen. And it's not just in your head. Your mind is part of your body and body's part of the mind, and it's completely interconnected as one. So when you have those thoughts and feelings integrated and aligned, that's when the miracles happen. And that's when your body listens to your thoughts and feelings. And when those are in alignment, that's when the changes can happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, I think of it a bit like talking to my immune system. I have chronic kidney disease. I produce, you know, stones all the time. Or when I get a feeling in my kidney, you know, I tell my immune system, now, come on, you got to do your job. Break the crystals up and get them out of here. But I don't know whether that works, but certainly having a positive attitude and indeed visualizing. We know visualization is incredibly powerful, right? It actually does, it is actually practice without the use of gross motor skills. We know that. Visualizing does change things. There's so many studies on that, as you know. People visualizing doing exercise rather than doing exercise, you know, still do better than people who aren't even visualizing it. You know, you visualize doing exercises on a regular basis, your muscles do develop a little bit, not as much as you do if you would actually doing the exercise, but they do some. You know, there's something going on there, which is in this remarkable mind-body communication that is going on, and we should not dismiss it. It's very easy to dismiss this stuff as kind of woo-woo and out there. And, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I would probably be one of those people, to be honest. But as I've learned more about the amazing mind-body connection and actually what does happen and what can happen and the role of mindset, I'm convinced there's something to this and it's powerful. We don't fully understand everything about it at this point, but we know that it has tremendous potential. And some of these tools have been used for centuries, right? And they probably wouldn't have been if they didn't have any value at all, right? So, yeah. Visualization is, as I say, incredibly powerful. All of those other tools are powerful too. You know, that relaxation, getting into a different brain state, being able to relax your body, you know, huge, huge stuff. Yeah. Now, again, this is a very general question. I'm sure you get some people come to you who are very knowledgeable about all this stuff and, you know, understand what you're saying and get it and do it. And then there's probably some people who never heard of this stuff before. You know, what's their reaction typically, if there is one, when you start introducing these alternatives to conventional medicine that might help them with either the side effects of therapy or the actual development?
Yeah, you kind of have to learn how to customize the education and the teaching to each patient. If someone is more scientifically oriented, you can talk about the studies that have been done and the clinical trials and that kind of thing and other experiences. And if they're more right brain visual, you can just give that word picture of, hey, this is what happens in the body in the moment. This is how the body works. So it's always a little bit different for each client or patient, but you just have to really, really tune in to that person's vocabulary and education level and kind of how they're oriented to life. It's pretty cool. We in the naturopathics medical program, we learned about different ways of learning, ways of receiving knowledge from the world, right? So they kind of talk about this medicine wheel, the different directions, and there's the conventional scientific route of going through studies and medical research and that kind of thing. That's the very cerebral, very controlled, very
right,
tightly refined process, but it's kind of creating a synthetic bubble that isn't very connected to day-to-day life, right? So it's kind of not fair to create this artificial bubble of controlled environment and very double-blinded, but life is never double-blinded. We always know what we're taking. We always know what we're doing, that kind of thing. So it just doesn't exactly correlate to real life. And then there's learning from history and tradition and experience in the indigenous cultures of the world, ancient China and ancient America and ancient Africa and all these herbal and spiritual traditions from all around the world that have incredible power and merit, whether it's metaphorical, whether it's a physical effect or whatever it is, it's
right.
There's still power behind it.
Yeah.
And then there's the intuition and the power of insight coming through that sixth sense, whatever that is. It's hard to name and study and pinpoint what that source is, but most of us have experienced that of just being in the shower or going on a walk and just having this flash of insight of a problem coming to our minds from seeming an source outside of ourselves. And so that's another way of receiving knowledge and insight from the world, is through those flashes of intuition, whether it's God or whether it's our subconscious. It's hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's just multiple ways of getting those answers. And so being open to all those ways as part of that naturopathic training was really cool.
Yeah, it's really good. Opening. Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that that was included, because that's so important, so important. And I'm interested in your response to this. So I was doing work, doing brain mapping for troubled elementary kids in the school system, the public school system, and it was really interesting. And one day, so the parents would then come and talk to me, and this guy came in and said, "Oh, you know, Joey, he doesn't have ADD. He's fine." And he had just broken up with his wife, and there were a lot of dispute. And he says, "My wife insists he's ADD," and I said, "No, he isn't." And I showed him the brain map. Okay, so here's a graphic image of his son's brain, and I said, "That is classic ADHD, classic man." And he broke down in tears. And then he said, "Okay, I'll make an appointment." In other words, just telling him, "Oh, I think your son's got ADD," wouldn't have worked with him. But actually showing him a meaningful symbolic image and explaining that meant everything. That is so important, I think. This notion that, if we just tell somebody an idea, that it's going to work for them. No, it's just an idea. It's abstract. It's got to be taken in. It's got to be made. And it's got to be energized, right? And if it isn't, that's, to me, I think, is really critical. What's your response to that?
Yeah, it's fascinating. That kind of goes into the learning styles and things like that that we started to learn in school, where their educational system is trying to get into that a little bit more of the, some people are more auditory and some people are more visual and some people are more kinesthetic and feeling and show me how it works. And other people are like, let me see how it works and show me a graph, show me a picture, show me an image. And then the hearing and, so I think the educational system is trying a little bit to catch up with that, but customizing it to each kid, probably not there quite so much, but
not quite correct.
The seeds are being planted anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't thought of that specifically for dealing with patients as much, but definitely doing one of those quick surveys in the beginning as part of the intake would be really valuable to, this person is really visual. They need to see the picture of how the heart works and all that kind of thing.
Or whatever. So. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Okay, we'll take a quick break and then we'll be right back with more from Dr. David Lund.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona,
then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You here. I'm with Dr. David Lemon, a naturopath, works with mind-body medicine with cancer patients, telling us some great stories about treatments and how they work. David, does this apply really across the board to sort of any cancer diagnosis, or is it restricted in any way? What's your experience been?
Yeah, basically the only restriction is the client's mental acceptance, emotional acceptance, and obviously everyone has a financial budget, so there's certain treatments that might be out of their range or certain supplement regimen that they can't afford, that kind of thing. So you have to learn how to customize things financially within what their budget can handle, and then emotionally what they're ready for. Some people are you know, I had a patient in medical school that was, I was like, you really need to do some yoga. You have this chronic back pain. You should be doing yoga to build that flexibility. And then a few treatments down the line, or consultations down the line later, I'm like, you still haven't started yoga. Why haven't you done the yoga that I recommended? And she's like, oh, that's against my religion. I think that yoga is demonic and it's related to something, something. And I was like, whoa, that's a new one I haven't heard before. So mm-hmm. I thought it was just a form of exercise, but there's some people that see it as something different than how I see it. So you have to, you know, like I said, work within what their belief system is, what their constraints are as far as how they see the world. So sometimes you can expand that and open people's minds to certain things or turn them on to certain things, but generally it's better to stick with what they already know, like, and trust and believe in.
Right. Yeah.
As far as that placebo effect that we talked about, the more you believe in your treatment, the better it's going to work for you. So kind of start where they're comfortable and then gradually build that circle outward. But yeah, there's not really any necessary limits or certain types of cancers or anything like that. Obviously, the earlier the stage, the easier it is to help the body to eliminate and reverse that process. But there's lots and lots of stage four cancer patients that have been told that they're going to die in 6 months to a year, and they're still alive 10, 20 years later by finding that right combination of things that worked for them. So just have to reemphasize, there's always hope. And if a health professional ever tells you that you're going to die in a certain amount of time, that's just their opinion. And basically it's when it is based on scientific studies, it's based on studies of people that are only doing that conventional oncological program. It's based on the statistics of the averages, and you can train yourself to be above average and or extra average and step outside of that box that has been studied and say, I'm not going to participate in that statistic, and I'm going to jump out of that box and start doing everything that works for my body.
Yep. No, absolutely. And of course, scientific research is the way to go, but we have to recognize the severe limitations of any scientific research. If it was, hey, we've looked at 5,000 cancer patients, well, that's still only a small percentage of all cancer patients. So how reliable is it? How generalizable is it? And there's only so many variables you can study, you know, so you can get a rough idea. But and I don't know, often the variable that we've been talking about, like mindset, optimism, is that ever measured? I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of. And so you know, the question is, and this is puts physicians in a difficult position, but I think they have to get the balance right between, hey, you've got a serious condition, but hey, it ain't over till it's over. I can't tell you for sure. There are things that you could try. You know, yeah, 85% of people aren't going to make it, but there's 15% that do, you know, and what do we know about that, right? And I think that that is a very important message, because it's very easy to get caught up in the statistics and data, either as a physician or as a patient. Oh, I've only got a 15% chance of survival. Well, that's 15%, right? It's not zero.
Yeah, we sometimes have a problem with rounding numbers as humans and say, oh, 85%, that's way more than 50. So odds are I'm going to be dead in a year. And then you start to tell your immune system that you're going to be dead in a year. And
that's, there you go. That's right.
It becomes that self-fulfilling prophecy. So trying to break that, and it's hard because people are trained to trust doctors and listen to doctors. And I'm a doctor as well. And so I want people to trust me and listen to me. So I get it. But those negative prophecies you have to be super, super careful with, because the self-fulfilling prophecy is a very real thing.
No question. No question about that. So do you treat patients just locally or regionally or globally? I mean, how do you, you know, what access do people have to you if they're not immediately in your region?
Yeah, I do telemedicine consultations throughout the mainly United States, but I'm open to working with other countries as well on consultations. So pretty open globally. And yeah, ever since COVID, it's been kind of a blessing and a curse, where there's a little bit less physical contact sometimes, which is an important part of medicine. But at the same time, that the blessing is that there's these small towns and pockets and certain states that don't have naturopathic medicine available that we can reach now and have that relationship and conversation with, where it's like, well, we're not practicing licensed official medicine, but we can still work as a health consultation and improve your health and teach you how to basically increase the baseline of your health to, so that your body can reverse anything that's off and out of balance in your cells.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very, very important. Again, to give people some hope and belief and get them trying things and feeling more positive, for sure. And so if people wanted to, you know, this goes out to 30 different countries. If people wanted to reach you, how would they find you?
The website is rediscoverhealthnaturalmedicine.com. And if you're interested in the cancer program aspect of it, it's 3cancerinsights.com. So the number three, and then cancerinsights.com takes you to the video that introduces my philosophies and a few insights to take away for an introduction to me. And it's an exciting time to be alive, exciting field. There's because it's kind of inspired by the drug companies' search for new medications, but because they have to study natural products that are often the source of things, there is more scientific research on essential oils and plants and botanicals and food and than ever before. So that science is kind of exploding, often in other countries other than the United States sometimes. Yeah. But there is some research here too. But it's a really exciting time to be alive, where there's more scientific research on these remedies than ever before, because they're trying to find the things to pinpoint that they can change and patent and make a profit from. Right. But it's kind of a nice spillover effect there, where we can have more of that general science of what works as well.
Yeah, yes. And we shouldn't be cynical about these things. These are natural products, right? Things that exist in nature. Now, that doesn't necessarily make it, oh, well, that's the miracle cure. But it certainly could be a contributor. as a natural product, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about natural, where people just dismiss natural products and say, oh, arsenic is natural and cobra venom is natural, so natural doesn't mean anything. And it's like, yeah, but you have to have common sense, and we know what's bad for you and what's good for you. And we're talking about things that have been used to promote health for hundreds and probably thousands of years. And we know that you're not supposed to inject yourself with cobra venom. And we have enough common sense to avoid those things that are toxic and in nature. So yeah, something that's natural doesn't necessarily mean something that's healthy, but things that are healthy and natural we know about, and that's the only thing that we're going to promote. So
right, yeah, absolutely. And again, manufactured stuff you also have to have, again, a similar approach to. Just because it's manufactured doesn't make it great, doesn't make it terrible, but there's probably a spectrum there. You know, it's not, you know, unfortunately, it's a sign of sort of binary simplicity when we say, oh, this is good and this is bad. No, there's there's a spectrum there we have to understand. And that is one thing about naturopathic medicine that I appreciate, because that balance of view seems to be prevalent in that. It's not, oh, this is the answer to it, or this is, it's, hey, these things can work under these circumstances, right?
Yeah, it's not what is good and bad, but what is useful in for your body in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you also have some courses, is that correct?
Yeah, so I have the Cancer Detox course. That's the self-guided, where I basically encapsulated the last 15 years of my research in the cancer field and everything that works and that has some science and tradition behind it. And I combine all those things together, and I talk about the 7 pathways of healing. So we go through the energetic pathway, the molecular pathway, the physical pathway, the energetic pathway, the spiritual pathway, genetic pathway, social pathway. So creating the kind of like the bicycle spokes of, so you don't have any flat tires, you're crafting that well-rounded comprehensive treatment plan. So we talk about all the different treatments, remedies, practices, everything that can be categorized into those different pathways of healing. And it can be overwhelming. There's a lot of information there, but like I say, it's like a Chinese menu where you're not ordering the entire menu. You're just choosing this one from this pathway, this one from this pathway, and wherever you have those blind spots or flat tires that you want to inflate and get it more well-rounded, like conventional treatment focuses on radiation from the energetic pathway, chemotherapy from the molecular pathway, surgery from the physical pathway, but they're kind of stuck on that triangle. And if you have a bicycle that has triangles for wheels, you can't move forward very well. So creating that well-rounded treatment plan, filling in all those gaps and all the 7 pathways of healing by just tweaking a few things. And the more time and energy and money you have, you can add more and more and more, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming. It can be simple and beautiful. So that's an exciting course that 3cancerinsights.com can introduce you to. And then the 1-year follow-up program is that online course plus working with me for a year to customize it and do the exact research on your cancer and how the course best applies to you and your specific situation and your labs and blood work and all that.
Yes, it's personalized. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Really, very good. And I want to thank you not just for your presence on the show, David, but for the work you've been doing for the last 15 years, helping people with this very difficult disease, let's put it that way. But I appreciate the work you're doing and your presence today. Thank you so much.
So great to speak with you today. Take care.
Yes, take care. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.